Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love.
This is Lana Love.
Welcome to the show.
Today, we're very happy to have with us Stephanie Banks. Stephanie Banks is an award-winning author who's quickly making her mark as an accomplished author. She was born into a family of intuitives who encouraged fostering faith in accepting guidance from within. Stephanie has had a near-death experience. Prior to this, she led a life which was very normal. Immediately after her encounter with death, her life transformed to that of an awakened soul. She has now dedicated her life to mastering ancient wisdom and writing candidly about all that she learns through the process. Her unfailing connection to the non-physical realm offers guidance and transformation to all those that seek profound insight into our existence. Stephanie, we're very happy to have you here today.
You're welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you made contact with us about your new book. That's A Soulful Awakening. So exciting.
It's an extremely exciting time for me. I'm just thrilled to be so widely accepted and to be able to be a part of shows like yourself that have obviously dedicated so much time and energy to contributing in such a positive way to so many different causes. So thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. I just thought it was great. I was looking for a guest and I said, well, this is, you know, I was I had been talking to Lana a couple nights ago about it was almost like a little synchronicity because I had been talking about my own awakening and how it was almost like a near-death experience for me. Slightly different because it wasn't physical, but it was very timely. And you know, and we spoke to you the other night, and we had an interesting conversation about various things related to this. So I'm really excited to discuss this with you on the show. And Lana's only going to be with us for a little while because she has to take care of some family business. But this is going to be a great show, and this is always a fascinating topic.
Near-death experiences, yes, absolutely. Very, very fascinating.
And I remember there was a psychiatrist who wrote a book or a psychologist who wrote a book about near-death experiences and really defined it years ago or really delved into it. I forget what the book was now, but it was very popular years ago, and it's still very relevant and brings on tremendous spiritual insights for people that have them, you know, the white light and everything. So, Stephanie, can you tell us just a little bit about, just tell us about your experience and anything that you want to start out with?
Sure. Yeah, and I'll just sort of elaborate on what you were just mentioning about near-death experiences and what I've found since my own experience is actually how many people have had their own. And, you know, sometimes it takes years and years for people to even remember their experience that they had, which I find just amazing, and how each of those experiences for different people transforms them in different ways. And I just find it so interesting, and I love to hear other people's stories as well. So, I mean, my own is unique to myself, and it's really what catapulted me into the awareness that I have today about life and why we're here and how to integrate ourselves with life in a different way. And basically, my own awakening happened as a result of a mountain biking accident that I had in 2012. And I do go into quite a bit of detail about the accident itself in the book, so I'll refrain from going into the details of that, but essentially I was on a weekend mountain biking trip.
Wow. Yeah, that was fairly recent.
It was only a couple years ago, so and my life has completely taken a turn in a different direction. I mean, I still do have my career that I had prior to the accident, but I now have another aspect of my life which is really prominent, which is what I'm doing. It's writing the book, it's doing messages for other people, and trying to raise awareness through radio shows such as this wonderful show. And looking back, I wouldn't take the accident back. I would do it all over again based on what has come out of it. And essentially I made a mistake. I made an assumption that I shouldn't have while we were mountain biking in the mountains of British Columbia. And I assumed that I could just roll over this jump that we came across. And I'm not a jumper. I don't really like to jump. So my idea was I would just roll over it. What I didn't realize was that there was approximately an 8-foot gap between the takeoff and the landing. So instead of rolling over it, I found myself flying through the air and slamming into a rock wall on the other side before falling into a rocky crevasse below with my bike landing on top of me. And I remember at the time feeling absolutely no pain whatsoever. I didn't feel like I was in any kind of shock. I simply felt like I really wasn't there. And I ended up leaving. I obviously went to the hospital, and I left with 2 casts on both my arms and multiple other injuries. And I was just really quite devastated that I had injured myself so brutally. And I was into my second day of recovery. I didn't know what to do with myself, and I was just beating myself up internally about feeling just really quite stupid for doing what I had done. And I realized that I was not going to heal myself from this state of anger. So I picked up a journal and I thought, maybe I'll just write. And I had no idea what to write about. So as I was sitting there contemplating what to write about, I realized that I had already been writing. And I noticed that where I had been writing, I saw my mom's signature at the bottom of this page that I had ended writing. And my mom passed away in 1996. So, you know, I was completely surprised and shocked. I went back and I read what I had just written. And I had written a 9-page letter from my mom to me. And like I said, she had died many, many years before. So as I reread this message, she was talking about how I had been blocked and now my heart was open and I now had this, I was open to the other side and all that it had to offer. She talked about this time of change that we're going through as a collective community here on Earth, and all sorts of concepts that I had never thought about or never pondered before. And it just blew me away. And I basically started writing every day religiously. I just couldn't stop. And I was just gathering so much wisdom and insight from the other side. And eventually I started sharing it and watched how it was transforming not only myself and my family, but also others around me. So I woke up one day and my partner said to me, let's just, you know, we have to get this out there to the world. So let's write a book. And that's what we've done.
Right. Excellent. It's interesting how sometimes we have these sort of negative events that we look at them as negative. It's almost like a catalyst event that propels us into this new paradigm. And of course, the world is in a paradigm shift itself, like you said, and things are happening and escalating. And Lana and I often speak on this. And the other thing you said that we often speak about is the reflection process, reflecting on our experiences through meditation and through writing. And it's that sort of inner self-examination and introspection and looking at things in an objective and non-judgmental way, the things within us, and really examining those things to sort things out for ourselves and really determine what our beliefs and values are and our integrity, so that we can operate at a higher level, a higher vibrational level, and we can be more effective in the world and really take on our passion and our higher calling that way. So very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, you did it right on there, and that's exactly what it's all about. Is about changing our perspective and looking, going back and looking at our own situations in life. And the way that I've laid out the book in this edition, it didn't start out this way. I ended up changing it, but in the book now, A Soulful Awakening, I've taken stories from my personal life that really impacted me in one way or the other throughout my life. And at that time in my life may have hindered me or blocked me or in some way it was, you know, traumatic in its own sense. And I wrote about those stories, which I found very therapeutic for myself, and now others are finding them therapeutic because what I've done is I've taken the story and then I've compiled the best of the best from these channeled messages that have come my way and inserted certain messages that go with that story. For example, let's say for one story I was talking about, my best friend who died tragically when I was young, dealing with that kind of death, how do you deal with that? How do you accept it? How do you move on? How do you get through that? And I've chosen certain messages from the other side that really helped me move past that circumstance. And my hope is through the book, and what I'm finding people are able to do is to take my stories and then insert their own. This is what happened to me at a certain time in my life, and now I can take these messages and look at that situation as an opportunity for growth. And really, that's what life's about. We have a choice always. Do we choose to move forward or do we choose to move backwards? And it's our choice. It's just how we look at things.
That's very true.
Stephanie, I wanted to ask you, it sounds like not only did you have a near-death experience, but you also opened up to channeling. And is that usual, or is that a rare event to occur together with a near-death experience?
That you would know, based on your own research.
I have no idea, to be perfectly honest. I like I said, this only happened a couple of years ago for me, and I'm just starting to really dive into what other people are experiencing, writing about, talking about. What I am finding, though, is that there seems to be a connection anyways with trauma and an awakening or a shift in transforming. I find that they're from people that are emailing me or that I'm talking with or working with or speaking to, that there are a lot of people out there who have experienced something very traumatic that in itself takes them to another level, to a different understanding.
Sort of shakes you out of your comfort zone.
Right, complacency.
And I think, Stephanie, you also said that it wasn't just the trauma, but also the fact that you had to be in hospital recovering and you had that quiet time that you would not otherwise have had.
Right, like meditation.
That added to it.
And I think that was key because, and I actually, just to clarify, I did have the opportunity to recover at home, so I was really fortunate about that, and I live in a very peaceful part of the world, which I'm extremely grateful for. I don't have neighbors. We live on acreage, so it's very conducive for a healthy recovery, so I was really fortunate in that sense. And for the first time, probably for the majority of my life, I actually sat still. Because I had to. I had no other choice. I couldn't do anything else. And I tried my very first day that after I was injured, I actually tried to go to work, as ridiculous as that sounds, with, you know, cast and the whole nine yards. And obviously I was sent away and, you know, you need to go home. And somebody drove me home and I accepted the fact that I just needed to recover and take care of myself. And it was in that time of peace and quiet where I found my connection, and maybe that's what it was all about. You know, maybe that was what it took, and I think for a lot of people, that's all you really need to do. You don't need to slam into a rock wall or go through a huge, crazy, horrible experience that's quite painful. If we learn to just take the time to sit with ourselves and listen to what's coming through, whether it's through words or writing or visual or music, there's so many forms of channeling. It's not limited simply to writing.
That's right. And it's interesting that you said that. You know, I think for some people, in your case, you're speaking from your experience. I think Lana doesn't realize that you were speaking just from your experience, not about the research of other people and how they've found their guides and higher powers through channeling. But it's interesting that, you know, for you, maybe this event was almost sort of a by divine decree or something or order that, you know, maybe this, it just happened to you for a reason so that this could this experience could take place and you could move to this level and work at this level. And who knows, you know, why things happen, but it did, and you accept that, and something good came out of that, and it's a wonderful thing. And not everybody has to experience that way. Many people learn from positive experiences as well, and then that's I'd like to see everyone do that. I think the world itself, as it is experiencing this paradigm shift, it may be that I once thought of this, that sometimes, you know, the creator or the powers that be will drop a pebble on your head to signal to you that you need to be aware of something. And if you don't recognize the pebble, the message, then they may drop a bigger message. And finally, if you're just ignoring, or for whatever reason, they may drop a boulder to really get your attention that there's an issue that needs to be addressed in your life or in the world. And so sometimes it happens that way, and other times it doesn't. And it's different for everyone. And we've had many people, many intuitives on our show who channel, and it's been happening even more for me recently. So and I may mention some of that. I talked to you about that a couple nights ago. But I came to realize that, you know, life isn't all or nothing. It's just there's a gray scale to life, and it's very interpretive, and it's you know, subject to our understanding of things and our perception. So
there's also the theory and the belief, and this is what I've been told through my guides since, is that we design our path and our journey. We've pre-designed this for ourselves, right. And this is simply my interpretation of what I've been privy to, and by, you know, no means is it the only possible perspective, but one of them is this, is that we design our own path. And for me, I guess what I did is I specifically, part of my plan was that if I haven't woken up by a certain time of my life and I'm not picking up on the more subtle signs, then I need something more drastic, and I need to be woken up. So in that moment when I was lying in the gully, I was told through my recovery, through a live channeling that I did with a friend of mine, as I was trying to understand what was going on, I took this friend of mine who's been in the field of energy work and past regression and the whole nine yards for 30 some odd years. I really respect him. And I took some messages with me to his office, and I asked him if he would please just listen to me read what I had and give me some insight. And he was so blown away by the messages that I brought for him that he asked if I would mind if we tried doing a live channeling right then and there. And I thought, okay, why not? Let's just give it a shot and see what happens. So we did that. And one of my guides came through instantly. And I don't have a whole lot of recollection of it because I was in a pretty deep meditative state, but my partner was present as well as my friend that was there. And I was told about my death in those moments in the gully, and that I had actually died briefly, momentarily. But I traveled with my guardian as well as a few of my other guides, and they showed me my life both here on Earth and also my non-physical existence. And told me that I didn't want to see too much. I asked not to see a whole lot because I didn't want to reconsider my choice to come back to my physical body, and that I wanted to come back and share what I had seen and felt and deliver my life in a different way, to play out my life from a deeper place. And he told me during that live channeling, and then also through a written channeling that I asked for later, because I didn't remember a lot of it, I wanted to have something that I could read and really draw from. So I asked him to reiterate for me and through a channeled written message what had happened. And he then described to me that I had engaged with Source through a direct channel. And from that vantage point, I saw my eternal life as well as my human life, and that I chose to reinstate in my physical body quite quickly and come back and do what I'm doing. And so sometimes it takes a big shift, and sometimes we choose to remember certain parts of that near-death experience, and other times we choose not to because it just doesn't fit with our puzzle.
Right, and just so you know, Lana's already stepped away, but
bye, Nana. Just,
yeah, but continuing on, what you mentioned is something similar to an insight that I had about pre-life designs or pre-life planning and the path that we choose in life before we come into the world, our mission or whatever it is we're going to work on with whoever we're going to work on it with. And it's interesting, you know, how much of this is actually planned and how much of it is simply based on cause and effect. So there's a lot of interplay between sort of the general template that we choose or the goals that we choose and how it actually plays out in the physical world, I think. It's still all unclear to me, totally unclear, but I have my ideas just like everyone else, like you do. But I guess, you know, I have a lot of similar ideas to you. So, and my situation was that I had been meditating for several years and I had started writing and journaling, and my books represented my own reflections and my own thoughts and theories that were coming up for me. And as I was doing that, I ended up becoming a past life regressionist therapist. And actually, my instructor has been on our show several times, David Quigley with the Alchemy Institute. He was actually on a couple of weeks ago, and he's very good at what he does. Does a lot with karmic contracts and that sort of thing. And actually, what was the catalyst for me was, I believe I met a past life partner, not in person, but it was just an incredible experience, and it was very short lived, but it was very intense, and she was very gave me a lot of insight into myself, and coached me, and a few other people sort of coached me in a lot of things that I had been exploring but didn't quite understand, and a lot of new revelations came to me out of that about the meaning of life and about myself and my relationship with the world and the nature of what I'm here to do, and just so many things, and even more recently things that I talked about with you the other night in regards to channeling and medium spirit messages, and so it's all exciting, and it is a journey, and you just continue to sort of rethink things and reevaluate what you believe you know and build on your ideas and theories and reformulate how you operate and carry out your mission or your higher calling or whatever it is you're trying to do. So, and this is right here and now, what I'm doing with you is part of that, where we're discussing this and, you know, trying to understand things better.
Well, it's all such a growing process. I mean, how I feel today, I may not feel this way tomorrow or 10 years down the road. Chances are I will have built on every day I seem to be learning and growing, and the amount that I've transformed, not just changed, but actually transformed over the last 2 years, just becoming aware of our own abilities and our own empowerment, and that all of the answers that we're seeking do lie within our grasp if we're really ready to reach out and look for them. And, you know, the whole past life thing is really quite fascinating, and it's something that I didn't put a whole lot of thought into prior to this, although I've always been a believer that we do live multiple lives. I've never been one to believe that we just are born and then we die and it's all over. That's not my belief system. No. And one of the earlier confirmations for me with these channeled messages was in regards to a past life, and I was just writing one day and channeling this amazing message, which now has almost become a story because I just couldn't stop writing about it. And it was a past life, the story of a past life, one of one of the past lives of my partner. And this entire story just kept unfolding. And then I actually received maps and pictures and diagrams, and not understanding, you know, where they were coming from. And I am not an artist by any means, but they were definitely legible drawings. And I passed them on to my partner, and he immediately started researching these maps, and sure enough, found exact, because I had known approximately where in the world this had taken place. So he, with his research, he found maps, and they're almost identical. So I was like, wow, I needed that at the beginning. I really needed confirmation. I needed proof, because we're such analytical creatures, most of us. Like, I like to have some concrete evidence in front of me, and I was just, you know, every little bit that I had, it was just more, I was gaining more trust. So it's really fascinating getting into the past life, and it can be really healing too, and people can finally understand why they have such a strong connection to somebody.
It is. It can be healing. Past lives are very interesting. They can be only if you're ready for them. And it may be that information is often withheld from us because we're not ready to deal with what's in our past lives. And so I think our guides or our higher powers or the creator or whatever source it is will bring that to our attention if we're ready for it. And only if it's useful to us, and only if it's useful to us in this life. I think that's my thought on that. And I'm an investigator. Lana's, you know, but we are, by nature, we're inquisitive creatures. And Lana and I are certainly both analytical by profession. But it's certainly a puzzle. And, you know, I've done past life lineages, almost like a genealogist, and I've been able to make connections with some people's past lives, mapping it out almost with family members, and it's really interesting. But I haven't done that in a while. But there's almost a lot you can do with that, and I've found that there's even these sort of personality lineages almost with our past lives that carry through these character traits. You know, I found a lot of interesting things that I haven't really written about, because I haven't written a book in quite a while, but lots of ideas and insights have come to me about past lives. And I guess, you know, that's what I have to say about that right now. But it's definitely an interesting subject that I've spent time on, and I've had some experience with. So. Mm-hmm.
And like you say, when you're ready for something, the teacher will appear. You know, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear, I think is how the saying goes. And really, that's, you know, how I've been approaching what I'm doing and what I'm sharing. And this is just my story. This is my experience, my perspective. And, you know, for somebody might pick up this book and read A Soulful Awakening, and within the first paragraph, feel an inner shift and inner transformation. Somebody else might pick it up and read the first paragraph and then put it on their shelf and not touch it again for 10 years. And then, but maybe something in that one paragraph that they did read, that seed will be watered by something else down the road, which will then maybe prompt them to explore that idea a little bit further. So we're all on our own path.
Yes,
you know, going down our own road in our own fashion, and that's something that I really try to emphasize to people too, is start to, and I talk about this a lot in the book, and when I, you know, work with people, is to really try to start examining your own belief systems and where those beliefs have come from. Are they actually yours, or do they belong to somebody else? Did you adopt this particular way of thinking from the time you were a child, through your parents or coaches or teachers or whoever the case may be? And once you start doing that, you know, for the most part, I think we're going to find that a lot of what we believe isn't necessarily actually what we believe. So I'm a strong proponent of stepping back from yourself and becoming more of a witness and really looking at how you interact with the world. Are you doing the things that you really love to do? Or are you doing that's the true. Things that you think that everybody else is expecting you to do? And that's then to feel empowered by that and feel that you can challenge yourself to step out of your box and to step forward in the world and put a foot out there and say to yourself, no, this is what I actually really want to be doing. And know that when you're doing the things that you love to do, that's when the magic starts happening, as long as you're not doing it in a completely selfish way and stepping over everybody as you go. But, you know, if you're living through love and compassion and being true to yourself and loving yourself at the same time, and putting faith in yourself and trust and doing the things that you're passionate about, synchronicities will just start aligning and your life will just start unfolding in such an amazing way.
That's absolutely right. You know, I call that going with the flow, when somehow you're doing things that are you're meant to do, and then things just flow, things open up to you, amazing possibilities. And it just seems right. And I've often had this aha experience almost when you're doing something that is really in tune with yourself and the world somehow, you know, the world collects around you to support you in that.
Exactly, yeah. And I just recently, I think it was actually a girl from Australia wrote me an email and asked for a personal message for herself. And although it was for herself, there was aspects of that message that applied to so many of us, and it talked about our innate being. And at the before I started writing, I wouldn't have been able to explain to you what our innate was. I had no idea, and it's so funny to me because a lot of the concepts that I now have come through my own writing, and this one was so interesting. And the message was describing our innate. Our innate is the part of us that just knows. And our innate responds to what we're telling it. So if we're telling our innate that I'm not good enough, or I shouldn't be doing that because my parents don't want me to be doing that, or, you know, my boss, whatever you're telling your innate then communicates to your intuition. Uh-huh. So, for example, you say to your innate, I'm not good enough. Your innate then responds to your intuition, communicates to your intuition and says, no, she's not good enough. She's not ready for that. So don't align any of the synchronicities she needs to go in that direction because she's not ready to go that way. Mm-hmm. If you start changing the way you think and the way you feel about yourself and really know that, yes, I'm capable of doing anything and this is what I want to do. I want to head in this direction. This is the career I want to do, not this one. And I know I can do it, then your innate sends a message to your intuition and says, hey, she's ready. Start aligning it all for her. And then everything just starts, and I just got goosebumps all over me just saying that. Because then your intuition can work for you.
You're talking about innate intelligence, and you're talking about the unconsciousness or the subconsciousness or the subconscious mind, our subconscious programming. And we have guests who talk about this all the time, about becoming your true self, your genuine self, your authentic self, merging with your higher self. And this is so important. And this is what light healers or light workers are doing in the world, like yourself. We're trying to create a great awakening because the people of the world won't do well or survive or be successful with the paradigm shift that's happening and with the new earth movement that's happening, that's emerging in the world, and where we're merging with the spiritual world and the end of the illusion of duality, you know, the way we're doing things, the social paradigms, unless we do what you're saying, it's really essential. So, you know, bravo that you're doing that and putting out that message. And I'm going to continue to encourage everyone to continue to put out that message so that we can be successful, you know, with our shared vision with this sort of great awakening that seems to be, that is happening in the world.
Well, yeah, exactly.
We do need to take a break. just to be in that routine shortly. So, but yeah, that's great, Stephanie. Welcome back to Universal Soul Love, everyone. This is David Love, and Lana Love has just left the house, but we're here with Stephanie Banks, author of A Soulful Awakening, and welcome back, Stephanie. We're having an exciting show with you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about True Self, and I think it's a very relevant message. And I'm interested in talking to you more about, or hearing more about, your channeling experiences and your mediumship, the messages, the spirit messages that you're receiving, and your message to the world.
Sure. Well, the channeling, like I said, started after my accident in 2012, and it started out with a message from my mom, who passed away many years ago, and then I ended up, now I think I'm up to probably 13 journals full of messages, all from various guides. There's a few that are more prominent and seem to come through a little bit more than others. Solomon, Raphael, Ruby are the three main ones that come through, and the interesting thing about these messages is that they all have their own persona. They all have their own handwriting, unique to themselves, which is extraordinary to me. When I was a child, I moved from one end of the country to the other, so I actually missed learning how to handwrite. I had to teach myself with the help of my parents, and I'm not a comfortable writer. I print everything I do. I print. And one of the first messages that came through from Solomon was the most beautiful handwriting I've ever seen in my life. And it was just so fluid and clear and crisp and no scratches and scribbles. And that to me was just amazing. So they each have their own unique way of expressing themselves. They all seem to have their own, they're different insights, and collectively, right, there's just so much information, and I've included as many as I could in this particular book. It's just a little book. I made it a quick read for people.
Can you give us your book and where we can find your book and your website and where people can contact you?
Sure. The book is called A Soulful Awakening, and my website is stephaniebanks.org. I ship books directly from the website, signed copies, as well as they're available on all the main sites online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Balboa Press.
Okay, and you mentioned Solomon. Which Solomon is this? I'm wondering if it's not maybe King Solomon.
Well, I haven't really determined that conclusively yet. I've wondered that about myself. I'm not 100% certain if it's the same. I know Raphael has introduced himself as being a king formally at one time. And what's interesting about Raphael is that one of the first messages from him, he introduced himself as a healer of sorts. And he went into great detail about using electromagnetic energy to draw toxins from our body when we request them and all this sort of stuff. And then since then, it's become quite clear to me that this is a known fact for most people in this genre and this field, that Raphael is a healer. And, you know, I went and saw a bunch of speakers at the I Can Do It conference in Vancouver and listened to Doreen Virtue, and she was talking about Raphael as the healer, and I just went into this complete sweat and had goosebumps all over me. That was the first I'd heard anyone else mention Raphael, and again, that was just a confirmation to me about my own channeling and the information that was coming my way.
Right. That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I have an association with I'm not sure that it's that I've received messages or not. I may have with King Solomon, but certainly there's a past life lineage association there with Templars for me and for some of the people that I work with. Professionally, I've had warriors, Templars come through other mediums in the Spiritualist Church where I did psychic development circles in the past. And So who knows if, you know, there's some association there that we're just finding out now, maybe not. People often channel the same spirits. I mean, how many people channel Saint Michael, you know, and we often work with groups of spirits, collectives, different mediums and channelers. One that the Rosicrucians work with is the White Lodge or the White Brotherhood. Oftentimes there's been disinformation around what that means. Many people claim that collective for their own movement or, you know, for their own purposes, but I know what it means to me, and that they're here to help humanity and help us with our mission in a good way. But anyhow, but that's just what I believe. So interesting stuff, though. Do you have any more information about your guides or teachers or anything that you'd like to share? Or
well, they're all so different and all so unique, as I mentioned. And my own, I had a pretty interesting experience with my second message, the message after my mom's message, was from my guide who introduced himself to me. And about, I'm not very good with time frames, but I'm thinking it was about a year or so after, he informed me that he would be leaving me for at least for the time being, and I was introduced to a new guide, and I was given some forewarning. It didn't happen just overnight, and when the time came that I realized that he wasn't really around, I felt really sad, and I broke down into tears, and I cried like you would if your best friend moved away and you didn't know when you were going to see them again. And I was really quite taken aback by my reaction to this news and to the feeling that I had inside. And it took me a while to open up and to actually reach out and ask for my new guide to step forward and ask him to introduce himself and let me know what he had to say. And I was acting like a child for a little while, and I just didn't really want anything to do with him. I wanted my old guide back. So I think that's part of human nature. So that was pretty interesting. And then, of course, I've had messages. Sorry?
Go ahead.
And then I've had messages for other people that have passed away. So loved ones that have passed away. And that's always a really transformative moment for people when they receive a message from somebody who's passed away. And one friend in particular asked for a message, if there was one available, from her father, and she'd been having a really difficult time dealing with his death, and it had been a few years, but she hadn't really been able to let go of the fact that he was gone. And so she requested a message, and I met her at the top of a ski hill and handed it to her, and you know, I said, just don't have any expectations, just read it and see what happens. And since then, almost instantly, she just felt this huge weight lift off of her shoulders and off of her heart, and she now has an open connection to him herself. So it's amazing to be able to just pass on something that that's been passed to me, and I can just pass the torch, and together, all of us as light workers and people that are waking up to the bigger picture, I think we have a certain responsibility to share and to give in any way that we can.
Right, and that would be the light worker mission, would be to, you know, pass the torch. And one of the biggest lessons I received in my awakening was, the high point of my awakening was about death and loss. And that's often something I write about in quotes on my posts, and the message I send out is about that it's really useful to accept that you have an eternal soul or an infinite spirit, and just that you realize that the termination of your physical life is not the end, that's all, and it's just a transition. And it's really important, I think, because it tends to be our biggest fear in life. And I remember something came up for me while you were talking about that, that I had a German Shepherd who was almost like an animal soulmate for me. It was my protector in this life, and my for almost 12 years. And it was a huge loss for me when I had to put him down because he developed myelopathy and could no longer walk. And I just, and it was on a weekend, and I said, this is it. And I did that. And it stayed with me for many years, that loss. And when I reached that point in my awakening, I made contact through my past life partner with the divine feminine essence or the goddess source or whatever, Isis, Sophia, you know, and eventually my own higher power, the masculine source. But she gave me a message when I was feeling upset about my dog, which was, it was almost a story. And it was just, the lesson was that he was with me when I needed him. And then that was it, you know, that we move on. And when that time comes, we move on, and it's okay. And I think there was a little more to it than that. But it was a really nice message. And, you know, since then, my life has changed quite a bit. And I now have I had another German Shepherd. Once again, you know, there was some issues there, and he's doing fine. But I now have a Swiss German Shepherd, a pure white puppy, and that's who's my life now. And I have lots of different people in my life, and it's just, you know, change is also another fear, but fear is always fear. That's all it ever is. It's just a feeling within us, not outside of us. So that's what we're always dealing with, is fear. Rather than,
well, and I think death really, really emphasizes that fear for a lot of people, and it's a sort of a prominent chapter in the book. It deals with a death that I went through, and the messages that I received around death were just really helped me release that feeling and let it go. And I think, you know, one of the nicest quotes that I ever received from any of the guides was, "Death of the physical body is necessary for the rebirth of the soul."
Right.
How beautiful is that? You know, when you actually wrap your heart around those words and feel the vibration within them, then all of a sudden you actually allow yourself to connect with those who have passed away in some way or another. And I remember at my mom's memorial service when she died, I was quite young, I was in my early 20s, and this man came up to give me a hug. I had never met him before, and I haven't seen him since. And he said to me something along the lines of, your relationship with your mom has merely shifted. It's just changed. And you will start experiencing her in other ways. And, you know, now we're almost 20 years later that I actually understand what he's talking about, that I know my mom's there. I feel her. I'm fortunate enough to be able to receive messages from her. And I look at all these little gifts that come along my way. Those are my loved ones and my guides aligning things for me, and I'm feeling them more and more and more as every day goes on.
Yeah, I understand. My past life guide, Arthur, actually led me directly to the spiritualist church that I went to, and that's all about spirit messages and confirmation of life beyond life, as I like to call it, and very important. So very important to, you can't live until you understand that concept or that truth, and you can't live in the present moment. You can't fully enjoy life until you understand that. And I guess we're just about out of time, so just want to thank you for being on the show, Stephanie. It's been a great show, and you're putting out a wonderful message to the world, and I really appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Sure. Okay. Hope to reconnect with you and after the show. And thank you, everyone, for listening to Universal Soul Love. And we'll see you next time.